Hey, everyone. Good morning. And welcome to Mondays with Maggie. My name is Jesse Blanco, host of not only this podcast, but Eat It Like with Jesse Blanco. You can find that every weekend, WJCL-TV. We cover the food scene like nobody else does and been doing so for over a decade. On the other end of the line, Margaret, we call her Maggie Crenshaw. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Jesse?
I feel like I've got a pear shoved in my face. I can't breathe through my nose, and you sound kind of the same.
I've been sick for over a week. What's going on?
I don't know. I don't know if it's fall allergies, because I've had issues with that the last couple of years. I don't know. I was at the doctor for my yearly checkup, my bi-yearly checkup, a couple of weeks ago, and they asked me if I wanted a flu vaccine. And I said, nah, I'm feeling good, whatever, I'll be fine. And here I am, like, I really do. I feel like I have a pear shoved in my nose where you could clearly hear it in my voice. And you know, I've been dragging all weekend and just not feeling great. Although I did get to the gym this morning. I'm very proud of that. How about you? When did you, how long have you been dragging?
Well, okay. So we had Veterans Day and we took a break that day because it was a holiday.
Right.
So that moving into that week, I flew to New York on Thursday of that week for the weekend, for a long weekend.
Right.
With friends and going to visit friends. And we had the first day we were there, Jesse, it was the most beautiful it's ever been in New York. All the times I've ever been there, it was 68 degrees, blue skies, just beautiful. Everybody out in the park with their shirts off, the men with their shirts off in the park.
I was going to say, I'll be in New York in sunbathing, a few weeks. I'm looking for that.
Sunbathing in Central Park. It was really beautiful. And then I woke up the next day and I was really sick, and I unfortunately had to cancel everything. I laid in my hotel bed for the rest of the weekend. It was
seriously
so sad.
Was that bad?
Oh yeah, totally down for the count.
That happened to Sheila, my wife, God, over a decade ago. We went to Chicago for our wedding anniversary, and the first night we had dinner at Gibson's Steakhouse, and she started feeling run down. And, you know, she's a trooper, and she said, I'm going to fight through it. I'll just do a shot of Jack Daniels and keep moving. By the next day,
that's our girl.
By the next day, she could barely move. And so we have a good friend who's a TV news anchor up there. And that next night was the night he was going to show us the town. And he did, but she's like, I can't. I'm going to try to squeeze our last day out of this. But if I go out tonight, I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to slow you guys down. I'm just going to crash. And so she stayed in the hotel while Ryan and I, he took me. We partied with the Chicago Blackhawks, the hockey NHL hockey team. That year, they wound up winning the Stanley Cup. But we had such a good time partying with the Chicago Blackhawks that it just happened. It wasn't planned that way. It was just a regular season night. We ended up in the sports bar near the arena where they play, and they were having some reception for some coach. And so they were all there, and Ryan was at the time a sportscaster, so he knew them. So we go into the VIP area, and we wind up doing shots of anything that wasn't nailed down. And this to this day, obviously this was well over a decade ago, whenever the Chicago Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup. When they won the Stanley Cup, they were all celebrating somewhere, and one of the coaches came up to Ryan and said, hey, where's your buddy Jesse?
that's pretty funny.
Yeah, he texted me that night, hey, I'm here at the blah, 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 and Coach so-and-so is asking where you are. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. We did have a good time that night. Anyway,
that's hilarious. You made a name for yourself.
Yes, I did. But I'm dragging. You know, it takes lung effort to talk like this. So I think this might be a short and stuffy episode of our weekly gathering. I'm guessing you haven't been eating much if you're down for the count, huh?
Didn't really go out to eat anywhere this past week because I have literally not left the house except for My daughter came to town this weekend to help me with a party that I did all the food for. Nice. For a friend on Saturday night, and I'm feeling well enough to do it, obviously. I stayed home just as much as possible, just to keep my crud away from other people. But the one good night in New York, and I know we're supposed to talk about the local food scene, but the one good night in New York was there with my friend Dana. Shout out to Dana. We went to see The Notebook on Broadway, and so we found a restaurant that was sort of nearby there. And we went to this place, Jesse, called Sicily Osteria. And as the name suggests, it's Italian.
What?
Beautiful menu. Beautiful menu. I had a really, really hard time deciding what to have for dinner. But we did all the courses. We did an antipasto and a pasta and an entree. We were very Italian. We did skip dessert. But I had the best glass of wine I have had in a while. It was a Cantarini Multipulciano, something along the lines of what Amanda would stock at Pomodori. Just really luscious and kind of peppery and almost effervescent on the tongue. You know, that kind of just
nice.
A wine that was so playful, that had so much going on, that I'm going to talk about that glass of wine for a really long time. But that was a really great meal. And you know, my measure of a good Italian restaurant in some cases is whether or not they have carbonara on the menu. And of course, that one did. They had a carbonara on the menu.
That's amazing.
Yes, very good restaurant.
I'm gonna shove in a quick plug, since you brought it up, for Pomodori. Is this not here in our little corner of the world? Is this not perfect eating outdoors at Pomodori 2 in Old Town Bluffton weather? This is perfect.
Yes, it is. And I haven't been there yet.
What? We need to do that.
I know.
We need to do that
before it gets too cold.
Yeah, next thing you know, we'll be sitting there with parkas and icicles coming out of our nostrils. No, let's do that. And I say that obviously here publicly, but I say that to you as well. Let me look at the calendar. Obviously, we got Thanksgiving next week, but we should go do that. It's you know, same exact food. It's just a lovely, lovely scene there, and they do some live music. For those who have not been, it's on on May River Road there, where the Twisted Baker, I think, used to be, and Underground Burrito, right down the street from Calhoun Street. It's a really, 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 really nice spot. This weather's perfect for it. So you had Italian in New York. That just floors me. There's so much.
What a surprise. How shocking.
I will throw this in, because you say we're supposed to talk about the Lowcountry, and we are. However, you know, I've never made any secret of the fact that decade plus that I've been doing this, you know, my thing has always been Savannah Hilton Head in the South. And, you know, I don't talk. I go to New York a lot to see my daughter, and I don't generally talk a lot about what I eat and like in New York. Sometimes I do, but I do talk about wherever I've been. You know, I've got podcasts coming up about some of the things I've enjoyed in Florida. But this past weekend, if you saw on social media, we were in Louisville. I was told three times, got to say it properly, Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville.
On the Bourbon Trail, me and Bob Prust and Jackson, his son, from Hilton Head Wine and Spirits there at Shelter Cove. And we went barrel, can't say barrel tasting, although it did turn into a barrel tasting, barrel selection for their shop. We picked, the three of us, actually with one more person, we picked a barrel of Elijah Craig bourbon. And that barrel, we literally autographed it, and it will be bottled and packaged special for them, and they will sell it in their shop beginning, I believe, in March. So,
cool.
Yeah,
I'll go pick some up. I need some for my Christmas party.
It won't be available till March. I will say this, though. I did learn that, you know, for a shop of its size, Hilton Head Wine and Spirits has a crazy good bourbon selection for collectors and for connoisseurs and all that. And what I did come to learn as well from obviously Bob and Jackson are going to be biased, but from people who aren't biased told me that the staff at Hilton Head Wine and Spirits are probably the most knowledgeable about bourbon on the island, which was pretty cool. Diane does a great job as a GM there, and she's also really, really well-versed with wine. It's, you know, sounds like a commercial. It kind of sort of is. But for anybody on the island who's listening, you know, going into the holidays now especially, you know, they are a client of mine, full disclosure. But all I hear from people who don't know that they are a client of mine is, yeah, that place is underrated. Yeah, that place. And so I feel somewhat of a responsibility to share with people, hey, you know what? If you're going to go load up on hooch for the holidays, you might be well served going and check them out and compare their prices and stuff. So anyway, enough of the sales pitch. We were in Louisville. See, I said it properly.
And, you did.
And I'm about to blow your mind, Margaret. Right next door to our hotel was a restaurant, and I saw it the day we arrived. Big old yellow building called La Bodeguita de Mima, which is a Cuban saying, and it means kind of loosely translated Mima's bodega. Yes.
Cool.
And so Cuban restaurant, I noticed, and I was like, oh, wow, that looks festive, whatever. We had, you know, we were there for air quote work. So we had our plans and we were doing our thing. But the last night we were there, I went on a walkabout. And when I got back to the hotel, like I said, this place was right next door. You know, the music was pounding out the door. And it was about 7 o'clock last Friday night. And people were pouring in, and I'm like, you know what, let me go in there and have a beer, just see what the deal is with this place. We had dinner plans elsewhere. So I go in there, and I could make this a 20-minute podcast, and I'm probably going to do so anyway, outside of our Mondays with Maggie. But Maggie, when I tell you this restaurant was one of the most beautiful restaurants I've ever seen, that was simply adorned, because you could spend $50 million and make, you know, something like the Grey, which is a modern marvel, if you will. But
yeah,
as far as creativity and neon light and everything, and then beyond that, the walls were graffitied with poems and old Cuban sayings and what's the word? Not idiosyncrasies. What's the word that's like old sayings. Anyway, I'll think of it.
Idioma. You're thinking idioma, or no, that's language. You're thinking of a Spanish
colloquialism.
Colloquialisms. Yes. There you go.
That all over the walls, handwritten, some painted, but when I tell you all over the walls, I mean all over the walls. And so I'm in there drinking a Heineken, looking and reading all these walls, and it. Listen. I'm speechless. It, plain and simple, knocked me on my ass. Period. I'm reading this stuff saying, I haven't heard anybody say that since so-and-so said it when I was 8 years old. It was, and so I'm looking, and my mouth is open almost literally at the expression of culture in this restaurant. And this is a huge restaurant. I come to find out 420 seats. Huge restaurant. But I'm just standing there in a corner reading the walls. One of the managers sees me, and he comes up to me and he says in Spanish, "I saw you a few minutes ago. You know, I can't think of the word in English, but he basically said you were impressed by what was written on the wall over there." I go, "Man, you have no idea. This place is just blowing my mind. It's taking me immediately back to my childhood. And how long has it been here?" And I had a very quick conversation with him. I said, "This place is probably the best expression of Cuban culture outside of a museum that I've ever seen." So he goes, "Here, you got a second?"
Chill bumps.
Yes, it was.
That's cool.
He said, "You got a second? Come with me." He walks me to the back of the room, out to the doorway, to the back patio where they had another live band and all kinds of stuff. Introduces me to the owner, who's standing there having a conversation with one of the chefs. And He says, I tell him, you know, all this stuff. And I said, man, this place is amazing. And he tells me the story of how it happened and blah, 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 blah. And he goes, I said, I'm here with a group and we have plans tonight. He goes, bring them here. I said, no, no, no. I don't want to make tonight about me. The guys have picked their restaurants and they, you know, we're going to do our thing, but I'm coming back. He says to the manager, what time are you leaving tomorrow? I said, oh, I'm leaving in the morning, 10 a.m. flight. He says to the manager, get him a Cuban sandwich so he can have it for breakfast tomorrow. So we chat, small talk. I go back to the bar. Thanks so much. They give me the Cuban sandwich. I had it for breakfast the next day. It was fabulous. That's the only food I had. But I was watching all the food come out as I was standing there watching this live band and drink my Heineken. And if you can't tell by now, Maggie, this place blew my mind. Blew my mind. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I'm getting that. I'm getting
Yes,
that.
it was so, oh my goodness, that when I got to the airport in Louisville, I sat there with my white cup of Starbucks, which I'll tell you about in a second. I was so upset, looking at airfares when I could come back just for that
Okay.
restaurant. Yeah, it was La Bodeguita de Mima. Come to find out that Louisville has the fastest growing Cuban population in America. I had no idea.
Well, see, that was my next question. Like, what is the Louisville
Yeah.
that you find that there? I mean, like, for heaven's sakes, you're from Miami.
Yeah,
Talk about Cuban culture all
the
around.
part that I left out of the story, because I could have, like I said, talked for 20 minutes about it, was the fact that my Uber driver, when I went on my walkabout, my Uber driver for the mile and a half that I went was Cuban. Because I heard him with a Spanish accent, hey, where are you from? And I'm Cuban. And so we had a conversation. My Uber driver back to the hotel, I heard him speaking Spanish. I said, hey, are you Cuban? He goes, yeah, I'm Cuban. And so I'm like, okay, two for two with Uber drivers are both Cuban. Then I walk into that restaurant and then come to find out that there's a huge Cuban population in Louisville. Then I looked it up and
That's crazy.
there's countless articles about the Cuban population boom. 60,000 Cubans in Louisville, Kentucky, 10% of the population.
That's awesome. Wow.
Amazing.
That's really cool.
It was
That's really
amazing.
cool that you found something like that. And, you know,
Yeah.
there are no mistakes.
Yep.
You know, there's no mistakes in life. You were
Yeah.
really meant to come across that. So that's kind of cool to see where your
Yeah.
journey there will lead.
Yeah. And I wasn't even joking. I'm already like looking at the calendar when I can go back because, and you know, I'm Cuban. As you know, I go to Miami a couple of times a year. I don't need to go there and try all the Cuban food, but that place was special, and I cannot wait to go back there for a night of music and dinner. And beyond all that, Louisville is, if you like bourbon, that's a spot for you. We got access to some really, really, really special stuff. We got taken into the I think they're called Rick houses, where they keep the barrels. These warehouses are huge, 56,000 barrels in the one we went in. Code allows up to 58,000 in a warehouse, and then there's you pull up to these complexes, and there's like 10, 12 different warehouses, each with, you know, up to 58,000 barrels. Think about how many barrels of bourbon that
Golly.
is. Yeah, that's a hangover waiting to happen, right? But
Yeah.
we went to Peerless. We went Bard. I've got to give a quick thank you to the guys at Bardstown for their hospitality and so many. I'm going to do a whole separate podcast about this, as if because there was a whole lot more. But I don't want to weigh this down far too much with my trip to Louisville. However, I will tell all of our listeners on Hilton Head Island and the Low Country and wherever. If you get asked to go to Louisville, don't think, eh. If you like bourbon and Cuban food, you have to go. It is just amazing. I do, and thank you for indulging me in my little Cuban rant. It was just so cool.
That was a good little story.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it.
So next week is Thanksgiving. Let's spend a couple of minutes talking about do you get takeout? Not takeout, turkey or whatever. But are there a couple of places on the island where you recommend people could grab, you know, pies
I
or
do.
desserts or stuff like that?
Yeah, I definitely have some places to recommend. I don't personally do that. If I'm going to have Thanksgiving dinner, you know me, I'm going to make everything from scratch, from start to finish, including the sauce for the green bean casserole. That's just me. And I'm not doing that this year, actually. My daughter will be elsewhere with her grandmother and other the other part of her family. And so I'm a free agent this year. I'm going to be with my friend Beth. Shout out to Beth.
Hi, Beth.
And I think I'll probably be making pies for her. But anyway, yes, the recommendations for the meals that you can get, and they've been advertising this for a while. I've heard that Publix does a great job. Fresh Market does a great job.
Sprout Mama?
Sorry?
Sprout Mama.
Okay, Sprout Mama. Yeah. So Sprout Mama does have something, doesn't she?
I bet she has to. How could she not?
I feel like she does. I'm going to have to check into that, though. And I betcha that would be more of a fun menu with a traditional items, but with like more of a touch of a gourmet touch, so to speak.
I will throw in for gourmet, because I had him make me a cheesecake one time and it totally blew my mind, is a Philippe at Hilton Head Social Bakery. That was
okay,
just,
well, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. We love yes, social.
Yes. Fancy, it's fancy schmancy, but if you're going to someone's house and you want to bring a special dessert, I would give Hilton Head Social a call, and they will whip you up something that will wow your entire, you know, because he did me, and all I did was ask him for a cheesecake. Like, hey, can you make me a simple cheesecake? And when I got there, it was pistachio and raspberry, and it was like, what?
So, and then just for our viewers, because you've put me on the spot, and I can't think of everything at the moment, I just Googled that, you know, places for takeout. And on the Chamber website, they have a whole list
of where you
can dine out or take out.
That sounds really good. Yeah, there's a lot of good places. I mean, to grab a simple pumpkin pie that's homemade is not hard at all to do in Hilton Head or Bluffton. So
also the smokehouse has smoked turkeys and sides to go too.
Wow.
And you can place your order for that. They've been doing that for years.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
So you and Beth are gonna hunker down.
Beth has a large family.
Gotcha.
She's got a million children, and they're all gonna be here with all the dogs and all the, and they live in Sea Pines. So we're gonna set up a big long table in the backyard. She told me I didn't have to cook, which is I don't even know how I'm gonna. I might start twitching. I offered to bring a pie.
Yeah. I'm running up to Atlanta Saturday for my sister-in-law's Christmas party, and I put out the word, hey, if you want me to cook, I'm happy to do it, but I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. This is your event, whatever. And she said, no, I'm good. And I quietly was like, yes, I don't want to cook.
Yeah.
I don't want to cook.
I can just sit there fine.
Yeah.
I might
bring a special dessert, because I met most of the people who are going to come to her party, and it would be nice to bring, you know, like I just said, some gourmet cheesecake or something. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Next week, you and I are going to talk about, our favorite things to eat at Thanksgiving and the holidays, and some of our traditions, places we like to go, things we like to do in our area. Sound good to you?
That's good. That's good. I'm definitely have a lot to say about that.
All right. Well, let's go heal ourselves. I came back from Louisville with enough bourbon to kill an army, as you might imagine. So I might actually sip on some, see if it clears me up. You do whatever you need to do. Earl Grey tea, what is your remedy?
Mucinex DM. I'm a pharmacist's daughter.
That sounds so sexy.
I've been taking the Mucinex DM and just lots of liquids and warm liquids, and my homemade chicken broth. Can't forget that.
Homemade chicken broth. Very good.
My
it's like the Three
broth.
Stooges, where you run a pot of hot water through a chicken.
You're
all right,
silly.
I'm getting loopy. All right, let's get out of here. Tell us real quick where we can find you if we want to buy a little Thanksgiving hideout.
I am a realtor with the Kaiser Jatan team at EXP Realty, and if you'd like to view some properties for sale, find me at margaretcrenshaw.com. All right.
You have a wonderful day.
We'll
talk
better.
To you. Yes, I'll holler at you to go to Pomodori.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right,
sounds
talk
good.
To you soon.